Welcome everyone to Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose,
and Poppy,
and we are starting off this episode with a little bit of news. This one's an ongoing piece, so we'll report as much as we have so far of what's going on. And this has to do with A$AP Rocky. So if you don't know, he is currently in Sweden, and he is facing assault charges. So, Poppy, what happened? What happened to this fight, A$AP Rocky?
This is my understanding. I honestly haven't read much into it because it's going to sound awful, but I personally don't care. But I guess it had something to do with either these two guys, and this is just one article I read, and it could have been completely contrived and fabricated. I don't know if they were bugging his crew or bugging someone else, so A$AP Rocky felt the need to step in, so he and his crew roughed up the boys. And I believe they were just a pair of guys. And at that point, they reported him to the local authorities. They slammed him in jail, where he's been for what now, 5-6 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. So they said that he was only, I've even read it, same article. He's what?
He was 19.
Okay, 19-year-old. In the article, they said that they were treating him poorly in the jail or prison, wherever he is. I don't know if it's a jail or a prison, or if there's any distinction outside of the U.S., but that they were only limiting him to eat just an apple a day. He had to share his cell with someone that was like legitimately crazy, so mentally unavailable. I don't know.
Yeah.
That he would like just take a shit on the floor in his bed. He would throw shit on the walls. So poor conditions. And keep in mind, this guy's a millionaire who's used to living the high life. And now he's just in jail in a completely foreign country, and there's nothing anyone can do. It's gotten to the point where I guess Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have asked Trump to help. So Trump sent out some sort of tweet.
The tweet is the dumbest thing. He's like, I'll read it. It says, very disappointed in Prime Minister Stefan Löfven, I think is how he said, for being unable to act. Sweden has let our African-American community down in the United States. I watched the tapes of A$AP Rocky, and he was being followed and harassed by troublemakers. Treat Americans fairly. Hashtag free Rocky.
That's from Trump?
That's from Trump.
That's almost contradicts what he states otherwise.
Yeah, and kind of put more context is there's no bail system that's in Sweden. So that's why he can't even post bail, because there's not even an option. So, and regarding President Trump and his tweets, there's other rappers, I think Lil Yachty has been a little bit more vocal about it, that he has said that, but Trump has done little to nothing to help push A$AP Rocky to get freed or to post bail, do something so he can get out. Again, like, this is, they're abiding by Sweden law, so, I mean, Trump can't even do anything, really.
No, he can't. And truth be told, even if he attempted to, I'd venture to say that the distaste for American society in general, and now who the quote-unquote free leader of the world is, or leader of the free world, excuse me, being Trump, I don't see anyone in Sweden be like, you know, let's listen to this guy.
Yeah, and I think he's...
They can't be oblivious to what the guy stands for, but...
And if he loses, he can face up to 2 years in the Swedish prison. So, he effectively putting his career on hold.
Sicko mode. that's Travis Scott, yeah, but they look similar, so I like to make that reference. Was it? There was a similar, well, it wasn't a similar circumstance, I guess, in how it started. Future, the right. mobile rapper from Atlanta, was in España, Spain. Similar circumstance, I guess, two guys or a group of guys wanted to have a photo with him or something. I guess he didn't want to. Something escalated, and one of the guys sucker punched, I saw the video, sucker punched his bodyguard. And it doesn't matter what size you are. If you get a sucker punch and you land the spot right, you'll take down whoever if you have decent force behind it. So they knocked him out, and Future, being from where he's from and his background, I'm sure he wanted to jump in and do something about it. His crew thankfully understood the circumstances and probably the consequences of what occurred with A$AP Rocky, picked him up, and then just took him like, nah, we gotta go.
Yeah, so I mean, Future knows that the laws are different in every country, so he was like, best not.
You're on their turf.
Risk it, yeah, at all. So
you don't know who they are.
Yeah, we don't know. So good on him for doing that. A$AP Rocky, I mean, I'm not a fan, but to those who are, like, he might be facing 2 years in prison. So
I wonder if we'll see less world tours.
Yeah.
I don't know, the two things that quickly.
Yeah.
And it shows, like, either blatant disrespect for other... Let's put it in our context. Not that too many, and I guess maybe now, people that are famous outside of the U.S. don't typically tour in the U.S. because there's not a big enough fan base to go anywhere, right?
Or if they do, they're very limited.
Yeah, they're limited. And they're limited to very high areas that are dense in diversity, right? Like New Jersey, New York, California. Mm-hmm. Nowhere ever in between any of those states do they ever come out here. Chicago's probably the furthest east they go from the East Coast. And it doesn't get further west than California. They don't go further inland. So I wonder if they'll either just take more precautions, because none of this has ever happened, at least not to my knowledge.
Well, here's a bad stigma might happen is that this is happening to two rappers.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. Like, granted, we've heard of other celebrities or artists who treat fans or treat the places they're at very poorly, but these are the two where there's actual, like, video and a big news surrounding them. And so A$AP Rocky, if he gets convicted, they might be like, we don't want any rappers here, period. And like you said, it could stop world tours or stop them from going to Sweden. With Future, like, again, nothing really happened with him, but we don't know. Like, again, the videos, I think the videos don't have the full context of what transpired, because A$AP Rocky is saying that he did in self-defense. And whereas the guy who got assaulted, was saying, no, they just did it because, you know, for so-and-so reason. And the videos don't really say either way. And so it's a story that's still developing. I think today was his first day in court, I believe. So, it was the first day. So it's going to be a 3-day trial. So today, the 31st, tomorrow, August 1st. And then the last day, August 2nd, will be the 3-day trial. So we'll know by August 2nd if he is convicted or if they free him. So look out for that, I guess.
Yeah, and you did make a very good point. These are people in the hip-hop community, both of which have fairly aggressive songs or talk about streets, right? Because let's face it, Celine Dion's song, after a con, you're not going to be hyped to fight anybody.
No.
Christina Aguilera, they did make you either want to dance, feel good, but these ones are... They can have aggressive things that might make you feel some type of way.
Right, and it comes from, and we've talked about this, it comes from where a lot of these rappers are coming from, their background, and...
Even who they're with.
Yeah, even who they're with, and them just either not learning that they're above what they were born from, and that they shouldn't be living that lifestyle, because now you're a high-profile person, and now you're being watched by many people, law enforcement, government, whatever it is, and people that do want to take you down. So, I mean, again, we're not saying everything like rap, like everyone who is involved in rap is this way. It's just that if they were, then for whatever reason, they're not leaving it behind. Because yeah. I honestly think that that's what's happening. There's this aggression that's happening, and Future is a good example of someone being like, understanding, hey, let's not do this. I know what I would have done like 10 years ago, but let's not do this now. So hopefully they can learn from this. Hopefully it doesn't negatively impact everyone else. So,
yeah. Hopefully not, but... Yeah.
So, let's go on to this next piece of news. And I think... I don't know if we mentioned it before or
not. We haven't. This had not happened on our last recording. Okay. So, I doubt that there's no way.
So, this has to do with Jermaine Dupri. So, he has a documentary or an interview. I can't remember what it is. I think it's out now, right?
Yeah, it's completely out.
Yeah, it's completely out. So, basically, when he was being interviewed about this documentary, the topic of Cardi B... women rappers right now came up, and he basically stated that she should be in her own genre called strap, meaning that's a stripper rapper. And he says, I'm telling you, like, for real, I think just like we have trap, they should have strap. It's a story of their life. I feel like that. I didn't mean to sound like I was, but anyway, so, and so he goes on saying, like, you know, we have crunk, we have trap, we have all mumble rap, we have all this other stuff. So she shouldn't just be rap. She should be in a more subgenre, which is strap, because of her stripper background that she had.
Well, he was asked specifically, if I remember the interview correctly, about Cardi B, Minaj, and the new one that we talked about, Megan Thee Stallion.
Uh-huh.
Or Megan Thee Stallion, I guess. And so that's when he said that it just feels like strippers rapping. And I guess he followed up too, and he hasn't taken back his words.
No, he hasn't.
So I want to know what your thoughts are on that, because I have a very specific frame of mind surrounding why he said what he said.
So here's the thing that I don't understand, because if he's going this route, it's like, well, let's look at everyone who, all the rappers in the rap game, like all of them have like 60 or 70% have club bangers or songs that are specifically about strippers or that are meant to be played at strip clubs. It's like, why are you not telling that these rappers should also be in that genre? It's specifically to the women that they were talking about, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, and Stallion. So it doesn't make any sense that he's wanting to put them in that, in a subgenre, but not also realizing that a lot of rap has to do with strippers, stripping, or being in a strip club, or meant to be played at a strip club. And if he doesn't see that, he's blind. So it's just kind of hypocritical, because he's also made songs about strippers and a good chunk of it. So it's like, and that's not all what Cardi B sings about, not all Nicki Minaj. Granted, personal opinion, Nicki Minaj sings like, raps about crap stuff anyway and doesn't really try. But Cardi B at least talks about different things. She's not ashamed of her previous stuff that she did as a stripper. Like, she's like, yeah, I was a stripper, but now look where I'm at now. And she doesn't rap about stripping all the way. Like, of her like top, what was it? I think she has three top number ones on the Billboard Hot 100. Like, she has that song, I Like It. And that was not about stripping. And some of the other things, she doesn't talk about stripping at all. So it's like, it's like kind of hypocritical for him to say that when a lot of rap has to deal with that environment. And so, but that's my whole take on it.
I always watch these people in that genre specifically, because obviously a very polarizing, divisive genre. So I guess I'll do two things. As if you want to look at what he said versus what the reality is, you could say maybe it's not appealing to him if he truly thought this, because their style and how they deliver it is very basic and fundamental. There's no change, right?
Right.
If you take the biggest MCs, people like Pac or Nas or Biggie, even Ice Cube, Jay-Z, DMX, they could tell a story and the way it sounded, their flow, how they set it up, the chorus. It just, they have different flows, different sounds, different styles. And some of those in the back in the day also, they had to do that. So Queen Latifah, Eve, Trina. And by the way, Trina was also mad about those comments.
Right.
Megan Thee Stallion was. And Cardi B went on Instagram, I believe it was Instagram, and went on a rant and be like, when people want to stop listening about pussy, I'm going to stop rapping about pussy. Which makes sense. She just want to make money, right?
Yeah.
But my idea is this. He said that to make money, because he also said, fine, I'll host a competition for the hottest female rapper, and whoever does gets a signed deal or something, or some bonus money. This is a guy who's been producing for many, 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 many years. In fact, 2 days ago, he went on Twitter and claimed he was one of only two producers that has worked and actually produced for and with Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. I was unaware of this, so now I'm going to have to go back and look to see who the other producer was. My guess is maybe DJ Premier. I'm not sure. But he legitimately said, I'm literally only one of two producers that have ever worked with all three of them on a project. So he's basically demanding respect. My idea is like, he has nothing to do at the moment. I need something. Let me stir the pot and then have them prove me wrong. I'm doing quotation marks so you can't see it. But I think that was his way of building some publicity. Because remember, no publicity is bad publicity. Yeah. He's getting publicity that's good for him. I'll host a competition. I'll sign an MC. And props to Cardi. She did mention and name drop MCs that aren't rapping about that, that are female.
Yeah.
I don't remember who she mentioned. I really watched the video intently to be like, okay, I'm going to quote her quote. But I like Young M.A. from New York. She's actually very thuggish. Like, she does say a couple things sexually, but her music content isn't based on sexuality.
Right. But I'm like, I mean, any artist, whether it's pop, country, like, they don't stray away from sex at all.
Sex sells,
and...
Well, he's been on some of the most stripper anthems before. Yeah. So it's ridiculous. And that's why I think it's a publicity stunt. It's him being like, I'm not, like, as popular as I used to be. How am I going to get back in? I'm going to target, very smartly, I'm going to target something that shouldn't be targeted right now. The feminine group, right?
Yeah.
These people are just female strippers rapping. They're not very good. Obviously, it's going to get... Yeah. That's going to get people heated. okay, now he plugs in his business. I'm going to host a competition. That's his way of getting a new artist.
And if people think that it's going to negatively impact him, it's not.
It's going to make him money. It's already, I'm sure, made him money. Because now his name is out there.
People
are going to
watch the documentary or whatever.
Forgot about him.
Yeah, they want to be like, what else is he saying? What else is this guy saying? I want to either hate on him or want to know more about him. So
frankly, smart guy. This is no different than what 50 has been doing for 2 decades now.
Yeah, but 50 sucks at it.
Well, 50's a troll. I think that's truly his personality. But he also realizes that keeps him somewhat relevant. So he stays in the spotlight. He gets the views because people want to say, who is he talking shit on and why is he talking shit? What's the shit he's talking? That's what it is to me. That's how I interpreted.
And then he falls back to Ja Rule.
The moment I saw that that's what he'd stated, I immediately thought, money over everything. This is his way, his ploy to plug some sort of business. And then little did we know, a week or two later, he announced, oh, I'm going to host a competition. Best female rappers, if you feel you can rap about something other than pussy and sex, come bring your skills. Smart move.
It reminds me of The Simpsons when there's just a quick little Insta thing where the teachers are talking about getting more materials, and the principal's like, no. And like he's like, we have to think about the children's future. And the principal's like, oh, come on. We all know the children have no future. And they'll all look at him like, prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. So
he's proven wrong, and he's looked at it like a hero.
Yeah, Jermaine Dupri, like, prove me wrong, girls. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
So I will say, I do want to see that to see how it's going to turn out.
I'd like to see it because, I mean, if they're really going to bring, if that's the idea of the competition to showcase, I even like the songs that are sexual, to be honest. I mean, I clearly do like them. I'm a big fan of Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, and they're very sexually charged lyrics. So I'm not against it. But if they're going to bring more lyricism, which is what I love the most, I'm all for it.
Which, actually, talking about lyricism and different topics is actually going to bring us to our main topic today.
Yes.
So this was requested by
Gracie.
Gracie, okay. So she wanted us to talk about J. Cole.
She's a huge fan of J. Cole.
Huge fan of J. Cole. So I'm going to start this off with something I actually told Poppy about.
Do we want to give a bit of background about him first? Not that many people probably need it, but just small.
Yeah, let's give a small background.
Started mixtaping, I believe, 07, and I think it was called The Come Up or The Warm Up, and then the next one was either The Come Up or The Warm Up. I'm sorry, I guess I'm not the biggest fan of his mixtapes.
I think The Warm Up was the second.
Yeah, and then he was signed in 09, and I know this for a fact, by Jay-Z. He was not allowed to release his first album because partly him wanting to make sure it was a great product. He kept revisiting it. 2 years later, 2011, he finally dropped Cole World, The Sideline Story. And from there, it's just been a wrap. His biggest hit to get him off the ground was Who That?
Mm-hmm.
No. Workout.
I
want to see you work out for me. The one where he does like the Paula Abdul.
Mm-hmm. I like
Straight
that one.
Up now tell me, do you really want to love me forever?
I'm
pretty sure that was the one that blew him, put him on the spot. Obviously, he's a fan of lyricism. And people have quoted The Sideline Story being arguably his worst album or mixtape. It's an album, but they say out of all albums and mixtape, it's the worst. I disagree.
Released.
I think where they're coming from is it's his least conscious album because he's very much considered a conscious rapper. So, okay, I'll give you it's less conscious than all the others. I do think it's a very good project.
Yeah, I don't think it makes it bad. So
that's just a bit of a bad. And I guess I stated something wrong because you asked me in the last podcast. I had to clarify this because I don't like being wrong like that. If the baby was like the biggest North Carolina like rapper to come out, and technically J. Cole is from North Carolina, so I was wrong in that.
I think a lot of people still give that credit to the baby because isn't J. Cole? He's technically from there, but wasn't he raised?
No. He was born in Germany on a military base.
Okay,
but he was raised in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I think that's why they don't give a lot of people don't be like, well, he wasn't born there, so a
that's where he got big though. Yeah. So I he's from North Carolina. I don't care what anybody says. He's. He's their biggest, in my opinion. But
sorry,
didn't interrupt.
No, you're fine. So that's the background. So, and to also put a little bit more information on, he's also produces a lot of songs.
He heavily produces all of his work, which I always appreciate because not only does he write the raps and the lyrics, he legitimately gets in the studio and makes the beats.
Yes, and he's also very good at putting the percussion. Just a small little background. So when we talked about favorite songs of 2018, my number one song was from the rapper Bass featuring J. Cole, the song called Tribe. So actually the, like we said, they sample the guitar, but the drums that come in is what Cole put in. And Bass talked about this a little bit, and he's like, when J. Cole put that in, I was like, oh my gosh, that's sick. And I really liked the when he put it in and what percussion he used for that song. So I can already tell he's really good at it, and he's had a lot of practice in it. So just on top of being a rapper, he does producing. He does really a lot of work.
He's produced for Big P. He's produced for Janet Jackson. He's produced for Kendrick Lamar. So he's produced for a lot of people.
So he's
very
versatile.
Yes.
If anything. So without being said, like I said, he is a great rapper. And the way I like to look at him and where he's in the rap game is with this, this comparison to a comparison to manga in Japan. So in Japan, back in like the 2000s, early 2010s, there was, in manga, if you don't know it, it's basically a comic book, but made in Japan. And so there is this name of these three different mangas that were called the Big Three. So basically, these are the top three selling mangas, and they're always competing to try and be number one. And in the manga, it was One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach.
In that order?
Yes.
Okay.
So in that order. So they're always like, who's number one? Who, like, these are the ones ruling it. So in my eyes, when we were going to talk about J. Cole, the big three that I can think of, and you might disagree with me, but I believe would be, in this order, would be Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole.
2010 moving on.
I
don't think anyone could argue that's not the case.
Yeah, you can say like, well, there's other artists that have like more hits, but no, either A, they might have more hits, but they're nowhere near the level of lyricism, anything like that, compared to these three. These three have been able to perfect the art, and that's why I have them as these three like competing to try and be number one. I don't think anyone, even though I don't like him that much, can deny that Drake is on top of the hill. He's on the top right now. Now, there's debate on who can be number two, either Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole. I'm going to put him as number three in this. And like I said, I'm basing this off of my own bias, but songs that they've produced, hits, albums, like overall, like what has been the reception towards them. Not saying that he's not a worse lyricist or rapper than Kendrick. This is just basically by numbers that I'm going off of. But with that being said, we want to talk about J. Cole and his whole discography, everything that, his skills, how prolific he is.
Yeah, it goes to the categories in which I said. So there'd be the rhyming ability / lyricism, and those are two separate things, but I lump them into one. The longevity and their body of work, right? Again, we're talking about a good decade.
Right.
Including those other two artists. There's the influence and the impact that they have on the genre, and even more so if they're philosophical and if they're helping out countries or whatever the case may be, their commercial success. So really, how much are they selling? Because that's got to be a thing for you to be recognized. And then ultimately their stage presence as well and how they perform, because part of NMC, especially back in the days, was if you're not good performing it, then you're not. You don't get that skill set, right? Mm-hmm. That's something that's very important to it. So those are the categories in which I think we both kind of consider when ranking them.
Okay, so let's talk about, well, I guess I'll let you, Poppy, decide. Where do we want to start?
On ranking him? You want me to rank him first?
Or let's go with ranking.
All said and done, I'm going to go with he probably gets the props he deserves. I honestly could probably argue that he's underappreciated, and mostly from the comments that you mentioned from the whole on those big three, you could argue, and that no one possibly could argue that Drake's number one. As far as commercial success and possible influence, that's probably true. Everything else involved, if I'm going to even rank the three, I'd probably give ultimate skill set to Kendrick from verbal skill set, but as a complete package, J. Cole has the best.
Okay.
It's weird. And he's so artistic, I think that he, we've talked about it before, because he produces his own work. And if no one knew, Forest Hill Drives, which is his third studio album, he didn't have a single feature on it. From the perspective of having like a vocal artist of any sort, he was legitimately the only rapper, the only voice you heard in that entire album is just him, and it went platinum, and that is the first time that has ever happened in hip-hop. ever.
Yeah.
Right? And there's the whole thing of even before he was big, people were saying, oh, you can't get big without a feature from an already big artist, right? So that he was the first one to go platinum without an actual featured big artist.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks a lot. So his work is interesting because I think it's very personal. His production style, it shows. It's stripped. It's not overly produced like some of the other people like DJ Mustard or even DJ Premier. He has some tracks like that. Overall, it's very bare, and I think it's so that he can relay whatever his message is.
And Drake does that too with a lot of
Drake
his songs.
Can, yeah, but Drake isn't the one producing the music.
Right, he's not so producing the music, so that's where it's like...
This is where the skill level is definitely where I give that edge to Cole, and not even an edge. I think he's kind of leaps and bounds because he's able to do both. He has a vision, and whether it starts with, this is lyrically what I want to showcase, and I'm going to make that production quality match it, or I'm producing this beat, and now I'm going to lay the words down to match that beat style. I like how he samples things. From a producer perspective, I think he's maybe middle pack. I don't think he's as highly skilled of a producer as other people, and I don't know if that's by design, meaning he likes that stripped bare style, almost the whole slam poetry, right? Just a couple percussion things, a couple few tweaks like synthesizers or whatever, but that's where he showcases his talent. And I actually forgot how much I enjoy most all of his albums almost in their entirety. But this past week, I've been listening so much of him. I'm like, I honestly forget how many songs I truly enjoy from him. And because I forgot about that, that's where I kind of lean of. I could argue that he's underrated, not just from my perspective, but I don't think a lot of people recognize how good a lot of his music is. He is controversial for that reason, too. His music is very in your face, meaning he doesn't hide anything. What he says is exactly what he means. So he's had issues with... he's actually had issues with P. Diddy. I don't know. Did you ever hear about that altercation?
I did hear. I didn't go too much into it, but...
What happened was, it was back in the day, obviously the big three have always been looked at for the most part. And there's other rappers that were up there, like Big Sean, that people compared to Mac Miller. So when Kendrick Lamar...
I still don't understand
I don't understand Big Sean either. So we need to do one on Big Sean. And honestly, I can tell you right now, I'm going to say he's overrated. But I'd have to justify that. So that's the surprise for you on how I justify it. The control verse, so that's the Big Sean song.
Yeah.
So on a Big Sean song. Oh, that sounds weird. Kendrick Lamar had a verse and Jay Electronica had a verse. Personally, I think Jay Electronica had the best lyrical verse as far as energy goes, and this is where Kendrick gets a lot of support. People feel his like anger, his attitude. He honestly crushed it with how he delivered his verse. And in that verse, he calls himself, "I'm the king of New York," and P. Diddy took issue with that because we all know P. Diddy's close friend, late friend, was, you know, B.I.G., and that's the so-called King of New York. Diddy likes Jay-Z, too. He also gives Jay-Z credit. He loves Nas. Nas is also from New York, so he's like, you don't have the right to. And they were in a club, I guess, and he started to physically go after Kendrick, and J. Cole literally stepped in, who had, so if you would so, a right to be mad about the control verse. He wasn't, and we'll discuss that, I think, and that'd be a fun to break that song down.
Okay.
But in either way, he stepped in front of Diddy. Now Diddy's mad at
J. Cole
for stepping in and stopping an altercation that shouldn't have happened to begin with. So, and he's a culturally conscious individual, and he's mentioned on multiple occasions where the genre I'm in is always, you know, very combative. It's competitive. And he goes, I realize sometimes when I do that, I'm bringing people down. So on his KOD album, which was his last full studio album, was last year, he had that song 1985, which was basically dissing mumble rappers. But if you listen to it, he's also receptive to trying to understand them. He's like, I'll sit with you. Let's have a talk, young nigga. You know, like, he wants that. It's weird. He approaches it weird. And I think because his personality is so strange and it's so new, people either really like him and people really hate him. And I think most people that hate him are the ones that think that he just absolutely hates and can't stand the mumble rapping.
Yeah,
He's
interesting in that aspect because one of the things that I really like about him is that, like I said, he is one of the better storytellers. Like all the other three, like they can get into their stories as well. Like I think Kendrick has one about him being drunk. And that song was just amazing.
Kendrick has great songs. Yeah, and Drake does too, but as far as a full story, to your point, J. Cole is the best.
J. Cole is the best, and there's so many examples that I can give, but the one that I was just listening to time and time again is Wet Dreams.
Such a damn that, good song.
And there's a lot of people that don't like it. They're like, why are you, you know, talking about this subject matter? And it's like, well, let's think about it. Look, are you really listening to the song here? He's putting himself into, like, I can't remember, like 17, 18-year-old, 16-year-old self, and basically talking about his first time and talking about, like, what he's saying to the girl versus what he's actually feeling and like, what he's trying to do to prepare. And it's honestly really honest. And I appreciated that. Like that's and he does it all throughout all of his albums. And he does it to tell you the story or to bring up a subject of what's going on.
He does it in Deja Vu.
Like I said, he brings up subject matters. Like in Middle Child, that was
Lost
one.
Lost Ones. Nobody's Perfect.
He's so good at that.
Yeah.
And like I said, my only complaint about him is that for me, like we were talking about, like there's just a... You can have the lyricism, you can have the message, but there also has to be that energy to back it up. So J. Cole, his style is, you need to listen to my message. So he doesn't want anything to take you, to detract you from that. So instead of being all hyper, being a temper, or being sad or whatever, he delivers it in the way that is the most basic so that you understand what he's saying. Which again, like message wise, that's probably that's the best way to do it. But for me, like to continue to listen to his to that same type of style that he's going for, sometimes I can't keep listening to the album or listen to the song. So I'm like, okay, let me listen to someone who has a little bit more energy.
And that's where I think it's appealing, right? Like, yeah, I appreciate and you that. Think that's his a delivery style, and because he strips it back so that you can enjoy it. Like he does it in Let Nas Down, right? He looks up to Nas. And this is where I was talking to you earlier, where I think he is so good at storytelling because he admires Nas so much, who Nas is iconic in storytelling, that he mimics, like he wants to deliver stories the way Nas does. And so that's why he's focused on that area in his music. And in that song, he quotes Nas' song, The Nas Is Like, which is one of the best songs of all time, in my opinion. He goes, freedom of jail, clips inserted, a baby's being born, same time a man is murdered, the beginning and end. Like, he starts that song off with that. I believe that's the start. If it's not, it's in the beginning of the song. But and then he goes on to storytell on why he feels he let Nas down. And also goes into saying, like, how he looks up to Nas as a brother, how he looks to Jay-Z as a brother. He references Kanye West. So he kind of puts in his influences, and he's like almost The Game, who's a West Coast rapper. I like The Game a lot because I actually consider him a rapper fan. Like, he's a fan of the rap game, and that's what he raps about.
Yeah.
J. Cole has elements of that, and that I appreciate because I'm a fan, obviously. So I'm like, here's an artist who's showing you how much they enjoy the very genre they're trying to dominate in, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It's fun to listen to that stuff, so at least to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's where me and Poppy just differ. Like he loves that, and that's what keeps him engaged. But that's the whole reason why I can't keep engaged in like a continuous listen. Like I said, I think he's really great, and I do enjoy a lot of his songs and almost all of his albums. There's not anything like huge that comes to mind that be like, that's what like makes me like no. Like I said, he is up there for a reason. And I think as we've been talking about this, I've teetered between he's recognized where he should be, but he also is underappreciated because a lot of people don't even look at what else he's done behind the scenes.
No.
And what he's trying to do to the game, because we've talked about this is huge rift in rap right now. And it kind of feels like it's imbalanced. And you have all these, you have rap where it's the most notable, it's the most popular genre that it's ever been in the entire time since it began, but for like all the wrong reasons, I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And you have all these other artists who are the big three that are not part of that. Like maybe they dabble in it there, but they're not.
They go in and out. I mean, as you would expect, especially with being 10 years, you're bound to make those type of songs. You want to make money. You want to have your fun. But they also take their craft seriously. So they deliver other things. They're like, I'm not a part of this. I want to show you that this is legitimately a style of mine. This is my art. And I want to make sure represents me the way I want it to. So back, I want to focus on Wet Dreams specifically because I guess that's one of those songs that is the exception for what you were saying on how he's so monotone in his delivery. Because in Wet Dreams, you had mentioned already, it's a story about him, and it's not his actual story.
Yeah,
it's just a story of him losing his virginity for the first time. So A, automatically is vulnerable, right? Men don't talk about stuff like that. And definitely not in that manner. He's basically in high school because, you know, he starts off that it was nothing like that first time. She was in my math class, long hair, brown skin with the fat ass. So it's weird because he dabbles between being crude, but because of the setting and his age and the fact that he's a man talking about the social pressures that come with him losing his virginity, because it progresses. It's a chronicle progression. They're in math class. They get caught. They start now sending notes instead. They're like, okay, have you ever had sex before? And he says, yes, I'm a pro. She's like, okay, I want you to show me. So now he's like, oh, fuck.
He's like, oh, dang.
And then so he goes into, and I never had sex before. No. So he reminds you constantly in the song. So really, it's also relatable in a sense that people now think about, okay, what happened to me when I had my first time? Even though the story isn't the same, the emotions are, like the stress and things that go with it, specifically for men.
And he even talks about it. He's like, I've been reviewing porn.
Looking how to put condoms on. And then he even prays, like, I hope it's big enough. Yep. So that's the whole thing, like the stigma of men and what their penis size is, right? So it's weird because that's not something you would hear in a normal rap song, but he plays it so greatly into this song. And back to his production quality, he has like the piano thing that cuts in and out. He has like the little layered voice choir thing. So it's setting for like this is going to be an emotional conversation. Here's my story.
And the way that it ends is great because it's
the
like
twist at the end. Yeah.
So he's like, she knows stuff, and I'm the one that's saying that, and I have to prove to her. And then at the end, she's like, no, well, this is my first time.
I love it because it's like right before I put it in, she finished, grabbed it, and said, I want to get something off my mental. I could tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle, cause I ain't never did this before. No, like I don't know. It was good. It's cleverly done. It's super acoustically appealing. And like I said, there's parts of it you resonate. I'm listening to them, like I understand that 100%.
Yeah, and it leaves it to your imagination what's gonna happen, because it doesn't resolve what happened. Does he say, yeah, this is my first time too? Like, is he relieved or what happens? Like, so he leaves that up, and I like that. Like some songs I don't like where they don't resolve the story, but this one is just so, it was so well written, and you're like, what happened? That's where you can fill in your experience. Like, oh.
But I think it's designed too. So, like, if you had a similar circumstance in which your partner shared that this is also my first time, you never told them, you were lying to them about it, which is a very common case.
Yeah.
Like, now you get to end the song feeling how you felt. Now it's personal to you.
Uh-huh.
I think it's great, but that's why I think that song is fantastic.
Yeah, that's. And like I said, there's so many examples where he does something like this.
Yeah, it's great.
And he does it, you know, with a story to, and he makes up a character and really dives in. Like, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he tried to dabble in acting, because he's so good at painting a picture with his words that if he were to do that with like his actual movements and talking and all that in front of a camera or in a play thing, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would love him to direct and even write a movie.
Yeah.
I'm not a sitcom. I think like a show would get lost. It's too much. I want it to be very concentrated, because, again, he's very emotionally and socially aware of how to do things. He's like one of those people of the people, right? And
yeah.
I think that's what resonates. That's why some people really love him and other people really hate him.
Yeah, and it's... but like I said, whether you hate him or love him, I do think he's still one of those top three. And like I said, it's the weirdest thing, because all the rappers that are very popular with the, I won't say mainstream, but like the general people that like rap, a lot of their famous rap, their favorite rapper is Drake, who, like, he dabbles more into the mainstream more than the other two.
Yep.
But there's a lot of them that don't like Kendrick or J. Cole. But they don't argue that they're probably one of the better ones.
Yeah, those are called dick riders. That's, yeah. Like in hip hop, they're called dick riders. It means you are so biased by liking this person, you refuse to even acknowledge anybody else. So back to me, you guys have probably think I'm a dick rider for Jay. Jay is absolutely my favorite. Nas is an extremely close second. I could even argue I could flop both of them. Mostly on body of work, I'm going to give it to Jay.
Well, he's been able to stay relevant.
But I can easily say, in this song, I actually like this person better than this person.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think Jay, for all, what if you want to call it a loss, takes an L on a song, even though that's not how I view the songs. But, you know, this is whatever. This person and this song did better than Jay.
And J. Cole, also just one other thing to mention, that he's really good at taking over on features.
He steps his game up.
Yeah, he does. Like, and that's what I was like, where is this on like some of your other songs? I think it's because it's like it's not his body of work. And so on his features, he's not on features that are conscious songs or something that deliver a message. Most of them are just like just a party song or something like that. And that's where he's like, it kind of reminds me of who does this? I can't remember. There's another rapper, another singer that does the same thing where she's on a feature. I think it's a singer. I can't remember her name. I can't even remember what songs they do. But she just goes and does something different.
I feel that about Jay. So if you listen, obviously I'm a huge fan, so I look at a lot of his music. If he finds an artist he deems worthy of his time, recently in his many years, he doesn't do songs with people unless he feels they're worth the time. But he always steps his game up to people he truly respects. So he has a song with J. Cole, and in his verse, like, he goes off on it. And he does it when he does it with Rick Ross. And I don't know if that's something J. Cole appreciated from Jay-Z. Is like, he steps up his game when he feels the need to on features, because this isn't my song, but I have to shine some way, somehow. And he does the same, because when he was on I think it was the Good Cold Summer project that Kanye did. I can't remember what mixtape he did with the Good Music Camp. J. Cole was in a song called Trouble, and it's the last verse. I'm like, oh man, I don't even remember the other verses before him.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, he's also mentioned from other rappers, like, when we reviewed Logic, Logic has that song Last Call, and he talked about Kanye's Last Call, and then he talked about J. Cole's Last Call on the warm-up, and how, like, they killed it on that. And I kept thinking, I don't think I've ever listened to J. Cole's Last Call. So I went and I started listening to it this week, and I'm like, oh, dang, this is good.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's on his mixtape. And again, if you want to hear, he has progressed and has grown from his mixtapes to where he is now. So the way he sounds on Last Call is actually a little bit different than if you start hearing his albums. But he's phenomenal.
So, yeah, with that, I mean, I like to give my favorite. It's difficult to say my favorite songs, like just limiting it to five, especially with someone who's been around for more than 10 years. I know you may not have five.
Yeah, I don't have five. It's not because I don't listen to him, but it's just I can't think of, like, too many to put on the list. Like, let me just go to some that.
And I had the opposite
right now.
Issue. I had a difficult time trying to pick only five, and maybe I'll do a couple honorable mentions. But I really do think you should listen to every song we're going to mention, because I just think they're that good.
Yeah. So, so number one, actually for me, would be Wet Dreams. That's my hands down my favorite J. Cole song. I'd put Last Call in there. Again, these are not like in order, except for Wet Dreams. I also really like ATM.
It's a good one. That's from KOD.
And then what was it called? No Role Models.
That's honestly a good one.
Yeah. So like good. I said, I listened to a lot of other ones, but those are the ones that at right now they stick out to my mind. And I put those on repeat, and I was like, these ones are good.
Yeah. So I'll share Gracie's top five because I asked her to share them with, and I knew this one would be. I don't know if it's her favorite, so I don't know if this is in any particular order, but I'm pretty sure Deja Vu. But okay. I'm like, yep. Deja Vu's up there, and it's a storytelling type of song, very good. It's about a guy wanting a girl, she's not available, and it's like, sucks for him. Forbidden Fruit, that features Kendrick Lamar, that's on his second album, Born Sinner. Love Yours, Motivate, and then this one's really good, and I considered putting it in my top five. It didn't make it, but Nobody's Perfect, and I think that's with Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
That's from The Sideline Story album. So mine, I Wet Dreams, obviously, if you didn't tell the enjoyment I enjoyed of that song, that's got to be up there. I'm gonna go with Fire Squad. That one kind of talks about like white privilege and different things, and I just think it's a good song overall. Lost Ones, it's about a guy who impregnates a girl. He doesn't want the baby, she does, so it's basically an argument between the two.
Yeah.
So again, a storytelling type song. I think that one's a really good song. I'm going to go with God's Gift, because it's one of those on his first album that's highly produced. It's very heavy. It's not conscious. It's extremely braggy. And that album, funny enough, it's kind of, you know, the come up. He's basically on many songs saying he's going to show all the bitches that he missed out on what's up. He's making his rounds and proving to the world, and that's very in your face. I'm bragging the hell out of this because I finally made it. So I think God's Gift is number four. I don't. It's not particular order either. Shoot. And I'm gonna go with Let Nas Down.
Let Nas Down. Okay.
Again, it's one of those emotionally. I'm vulnerable. And I'm gonna show you. I'm a fan. I let you down. I'm gonna step it up. And since then, I'm pretty sure he hasn't had like a very clubby type hit song.
Yeah.
Again, Deja Vu is pretty popular. I don't know if they play it in the clubs, but he hasn't had anything like everyone wants to jam out to this. And if it sounds like that consciously, the message isn't that.
Right, and that's, and again, a lot of people. When they hear about rap, they think about it's a club song. It's something that either has to have like these dark undertones or this ominous music that's more prevalent nowadays in their club songs that they come out with. And J. Cole just doesn't have that. And that's also why I like it. All of his beats don't have that dreary sound that is prevalent now in a lot of mainstream songs. And he is... Honestly, I hope that he has more commercial success. I hope people will be more consciously aware of what he's trying to do with his songs.
And, he went platinum.
Yeah, he went platinum. But it's like, it's a fun, like I said, it's funny. Like, people recognize, they know the J. Cole, but they'll be like, oh, I don't know really what
he
does.
They don't give him the time of day. And that could be back in the concept of now, the people don't have the attention span to listen to a full album.
Right.
And I'll get into that when we talk about Kanye, but Kanye basically pioneered the idea of only 7 tracks, which is fucking bullshit to me. Don't give me fucking 7 tracks on an album. Fuck you. That's an extended playlist or a long playlist at best.
And don't give me 27 songs with 2 good songs.
Migos, no.
No, don't do that either. They're too extreme.
And I'm not asking for like 24 tracks, right? For me, bare minimum, if it's solid, 10 is good. 13 for me is the bare minimum. If you have 10 insane tracks, I'll accept 10. I'll secede. But fucking 7, fuck you, Kanye. God damn it. But
don't support him. No, no, his stupid, what is his stupid shoes? His
Yeezys, I own a pair.
I hate you. Don't support him.
I like him. And for anyone that thinks I'm a dick writer for Jay, notice I didn't put Jay's feature song with J. Cole in my top 5. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, so.
I didn't, but.
So let us know what you thought about J. Cole. Be honest, like, if you don't really know him, you're just like, oh, I know the name because people talk about him. Like, yeah, be straight up honest with that. If you don't know him, but you don't know any of his songs, but know his name, that's fine. That just it gives us a more understanding of what's going on with hip hop and just having names being thrown around, but not really listening to them because they're not your club songs or for whatever reason. So,
And I mean, part of the reason we're doing this podcast is I think we both like sharing and talking about music, whether they're differing ideas or similar ideas, right? Like, mm-hmm. I agree, I disagree. Here's why we can agree to. It becomes a personal preference. So if you listen to the songs, which I highly encourage you to, if you want to share your thoughts on why you liked it, why you didn't, we'll share them on the next one if you'd like to talk about it. That's what I enjoy. Why didn't you like it? Okay, cool. Now I get an understanding of your personal preference and maybe how you relate to songs or what you like to draw from them. Is it just to escape? Is it to boost your ego? Is it to boost your mood? Is it to kind of live vicariously through them? I think there's a lot of different reasons people listen to music, but at the end of the day, you just want to enjoy it. And on that note, because I like to share music, I know typically we end on providing a song, so I'm not going to give you another J. Cole song, but I'm going to give you someone who I think sometimes sound like J. Cole. It's Vic Mensa, who's a Chicago rapper. He has a song with Pusha T. I just discovered, and I think the song's been around for years, but I just came across it recently, and it's called OMG, and it's Oh My Goodness. And literally, I think the best reason I like this song is because like every bar in some verses, it just has like this odd low quality sound of like some, it sounds like a Caucasian male, like a white guy that just goes, oh my goodness. And they just throw that into the beat and loop at every bar. And it sounds funny. And that's why I like it. It sounds good.
Okay. Dang it. I always forget to bring one to these.
Yeah, you do. I need to remind you before we start to get
so
one.
So I don't have one out. So next episode, I'll have 2. I have at least 2 to tell
make it up to the people.
Yeah, make it up to the people. So, yeah, let us know what of your comments. Leave it at either in the comment box on Podomatic, or you can send us an email at hiphopsoiree. So that's HIPHOPSOIREE 2018 @gmail.com. And if you have any themes, anything you want us to talk about, let us know. If you want us to expand and do other stuff, videos and stuff like that, let us know. We'll see what we can do about that. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. This is DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.